From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the concluding portion of a message, The Reaction of the Church to the Hypocrisy of Ananias and Sapphira, part of this series of studies in the Book of Acts. Before Dr. Cairns comes, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Morning and Evening. The text for today is found in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 8. I will give thee for a covenant of the people. Jesus Christ is himself the sum and substance of the covenant, and as one of its gifts, he is the property of every believer. Believer, canst thou estimate what thou hast gotten in Christ? In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Consider that word God and its infinity, and then meditate upon perfect man and all his beauty. For all that Christ, as God and man, ever had or can have is thine, out of pure free favor, passed over to thee to be thine entailed property forever. Our blessed Jesus, as God, is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. Will it not console you to know that all these great and glorious attributes are altogether yours? Has he power? That power is yours to support and strengthen you, to overcome your enemies, and to preserve you even to the end. Has he love? Well, there is not a drop of love in his heart which is not yours. You may dive into the immense ocean of his love, and you may say of it all, it is mine. Hath he justice? It may seem a stern attribute, but even that is yours, for he will by his justice see to it that all which is promised to you in the covenant of grace shall be most certainly secured to you. And all that he has as perfect man is yours. As a perfect man, the Father's delight was upon him. He stood accepted by the Most High. O believer, God's acceptance of Christ is thine acceptance. For knowest thou not that the love which the Father set on a perfect Christ, he sets on thee now? For all that Christ did is thine. That perfect righteousness which Jesus wrought out, when through his stainless life he kept the law and made it honorable, is thine and is imputed to thee. Christ is in the covenant. My God, I am thine. What a comfort divine! What a blessing to know that the Savior is mine! In the heavenly Lamb thrice happy I am, and my heart it doth dance at the sound of his name.
Is manna for the hungry soul.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? Or, how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your free copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it for you.
Thank you.
In the fifth chapter of the book of Acts, verses 11 through 42, we find the impact upon the early church of the deaths of Ananias and Sapphira, who had tried to deceive the apostles. The passage declares that great fear came upon the church. Because of that, a number of consequences followed. First of all, that fear produced purity within the church. The believers experienced a remarkable unity among themselves, and their fervency in prayer increased. In addition, the believers were more determined than ever to take a strong stand for Christ. But, as frequently is true, the devil reacted to the blessing by inciting persecution from the religious leaders among the Jews. Yet the apostles responded to the persecution with praise to the Lord as they continued to preach the gospel. Now here is Dr. Cairns to conclude the reaction of the church to the hypocrisy of Ananias and Sapphira.
All the enemies of God have more cause to fear than the people of God. These people feared the growth of the gospel. Verse 26, they feared the passion of the people. They were afraid the people, instead of slaying the apostles, would slay the apostates. And then, most of all, verse 28, this is worthy of your closer study. They feared the blame of the blood of Christ. What do they say at the very end of the verse? Intend you to bring this man's blood upon us? I would hold a minute. These were the very people who a little while before had stood outside Pilate's judgment hall. And in Matthew 27:25, we read they cried, His blood be on us and on our children. Ah, but now they were afraid of it. The fear of the persecutors. The forcefulness of Peter's, verse 27 to 32. You will notice clearly what Peter says. This is not just a mere fanatic zeal. This is no manifesto for a revolutionary. Rather, Peter was communicating and enunciating three great themes. Verse 29, the theme of his duty. We ought to obey God rather than them. There's a big discussion always among God's people as to the powers of the state and the duties of the believer. We are to render to Caesar that which is Caesar's. We are never commanded to render to Caesar that which is God's. Never. And when the state takes the prerogatives that belong to the Lord, when the state commands our disobedience to God, when the state invokes its power to force God's people to sin, then we stand where Peter stood and we say we ought to obey God rather than men. That's the principle and that's his duty. Now, of course, that's not only true in your relations to the state. That's your principle of duty in relation to every man around you. Obey God. Obey God. And if you get a man who truly obeys God, he will do what's right toward the state. He will do what's right towards his family. He will do what's right towards his employer. He'll do what's right towards society in general. Get a man who obeys God, and he'll do right in every other area of his life. And with that duty there went also the enunciation of the doctrine. Verse 30 and verse 31. The person, the death, the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, his position as Prince and Savior, to give repentance and forgiveness of sins. Notice the sovereignty of God in passing there. Repentance is not something which men can work up in themselves. It is not a natural disposition of the human heart. It is the gift of God. When you realize that according to Ephesians 2, faith is the gift of God, then repentance and faith are given by the sovereign free grace of God. And then verse 32, he sets forth his determination. We are his witnesses. These are the three things that Peter forcefully sets forth. He says, this is our duty, this is our doctrine, and this is our determination. We are God's witnesses. Notice also he says, so is the Holy Ghost. And that was a good jibe at these people. As you can put us in jail, you're never going to stop us. You can curse us, but you're never going to stop us. You can do anything you like against us, but you're never going to stop us because the Holy Ghost is in our midst. Oh, give us that testimony.
Let us know the Holy Spirit in the midst. And there's no stopping of the work of God. And that led finally in verse 33 through to 40 to the great fierceness of the persecution. Now here we're introduced to Gamaliel in this final section of the part that deals with persecution. You'll notice the advice of Gamaliel, verse 33 through to verse 39. In effect, he says, well, if we could read verse 38, refrain from these men. He gives a little historical survey of all the false Christs who had arisen, and the false movements, and how they had petered out into nothingness. But he says, refrain from these men and let them alone, for if this counsel or this work be of man, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found even to fight against God. Gamaliel is a name to conjure with. At this time he was Paul's teacher. He must have been one of the greatest doctors of the law. Certainly he stands forth here as a very prominent figure. I think you can see in his words there's a great caution. And I just wonder why. I can't help thinking how much Gamaliel must have known. I think you know that Gamaliel recognized a lot more than he liked to admit. If he for one moment thought that this was a work of the devil, he would have been foremost among the persecutors. But he's saying it's maybe of God. And I think I see in Gamaliel a man a little bit like Erasmus in the time of the Reformation. A man of brilliant intellect. A man who knew enough of the truth to make him a true follower of Jesus Christ. But a man who loved the praise of men, and a man who was more afraid of men than he was of God. All Gamaliel's advice, it's interesting, didn't save him. Notice the agreement of the council. They agreed to this, but yet notice their aversion. I want you to watch this carefully. They agreed. What did they do? They still beat the apostles. Oh, they said, well, Gamaliel, we'll go along with you. We'll not oppose this, but we'll whip these fellows anyway. It's always good to get a whip out to the people of God. And then notice what they said. Do not speak in the name of Jesus. Now, again, they reiterate this. Don't preach. They don't mention the miracle. They don't say to Peter and James and John and the rest of the apostles, now don't do any more miracles. They're quite happy to have people healed. They're quite happy for the blind to see and the lame to walk and all that sort of thing. All they say is, now don't preach. You see, a movement which merely works miracles is no threat to the devil. You can heal people all you like, as long as they go to hell in the long run. The devil doesn't care. They said, don't preach in that name. What is it that can shake the world as it did in those days? It's preaching in the name of Jesus Christ. Now what did these people do? The final two verses of the chapter. These with their perseverance. Verse 41. Their reaction to suffering was praise. I think this shows us up a little, you know. Every time we have an ache or pain, we have a long face. I heard Dr. Jones on the radio the other day, and he was lamenting that there are some people you can't even ask them how they are, but if you do, you're liable to have the next 45 minutes taken up with a long, never-ending stream of every ache, every pain, every hair that falls out of their head, every bone that creaks, and their whole history. Usually the people who have to suffer the most are the people who do not complain like that. But the hypochondriacs, well, we all know them, don't we? And I think we all tend to be a little that way. But here are people, and they suffer. Now, it's easy for us to read that they beat them.
I have stood in what is believed to be the high priest's house. And if it's not the high priest's house, I personally believe it most probably is. If it's not the high priest's house, it must be one identical to it. It's in the right place. It is of the right design. It's a very interesting place to be, even though they have built a Roman Catholic chapel right over the top of it. But it's a very interesting place to be and see the excavated house. And to go down there into the dungeon and to see the place where they whipped the apostles. To see these three pillars nicely spaced so that the hands are tied to the outside pillars and the body is against the middle pillar. And then the whip is taken until that body runs with blood and is just a mangled mass of flesh and gore. It's easy to read they were beaten. I can tell you when they walked out of that house, it was only by the grace of God they could walk at all. And how did they come out? Owing and eyeing and groaning and moaning. They come out rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for Jesus' name. Sometimes we're afraid to witness for Christ in case someone might snigger at us, or someone might mock us and hurt our tender feelings. How ashamed we ought to be by these people. Then their reaction to the threats was preaching. Their tenacity, they ceased not, despite the warning. Their text is thought, brought before our thought in the word teach. I believe that that has a reference to the fact that they were expounding the word of God. Preachers who get to the Bible. I have people say very regularly over the years, especially through our radio ministry, that they're very amazed that we take a text of Scripture, take a passage of Scripture, and we let the Bible speak. We use the Scripture. I don't see why they should be amazed. The amazement should be that others don't do it. This is preaching with a text, teaching the Word of God, and the tidings they bring. The word preach is to announce the good tidings. And originally, I think the force of the words is even more dynamic than in our translation. They ceased not teaching and announcing the good tidings. Jesus the Christ. Why, that's the message we have. Jesus is the Christ. What a witness they have. Impervious to insult and injury. Flaming with a fire of love for Christ. Willing to work and willing to witness non-stop even to the death. I read that passage and thought on that witness. I could only cry to the Lord, Lord, make us such men. And we then shall see again what God the Lord can do in turning an entire generation to repentance to God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord give us this kind of tenacious witness, where daily in the temple and in every house we will cease not to teach and to preach Jesus the Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let's all pray and seek the Lord's face in the closing moments of the service. Our Father and our God, we bless Thee for the presence of God in the midst of His church, for the power of the Holy Ghost. How it encourages us that the Lord can do again today what He did in the days of the early church. Lord, we believe that Thou art still able to save. We believe that Thou art still able in a mighty manner to move in power. And we pray that Thou wilt do it. Lord, keep us faithful to Thee, whatever the persecution, whatever the opposition, whatever the powers of hell against us. Lord, keep us faithful to Thee and use us mightily for Thy glory. Remember any who are not saved. O Lord, what a tragedy to live and die without Christ.
God have mercy upon them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.